the law of Moses and the grace of God. And Paul is in prison writing this letter. Actually, I'm wrong. He's not in prison. He's just not in Galatians. He's not in prison. Galatians is not a prison epistle. But he's not in Galatians. He's been there. And he's writing to the Galatian church to let them know of what he's hearing is going on in the church. What he's hearing going on is some disturbing stuff.
Yes, sir.
And so we need to learn from that today. We may have heard it preached before in other places or even here, but we're going to hear it again today, that hopefully it will shed something in our lives and grow something up in our lives that will help us better to live out what God is and has done in our lives and with our lives.
Amen.
And where he wants to take us. Amen?
Amen.
Galatians 5, I'm going to read 1 through 9 at this time. Later on, I'll read 13 through 15. But right now, I just want to read 1 through 9 of the 5th chapter of Galatians. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Thus ends the reading of God's word. The title of this sermon is Falling Into Grace. Falling Into Grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to sit at your feet and hear from you.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit, take control of my tongue, my mind, my body. Take control of this whole service that you may speak through me.
Yes, Lord.
To me and through me.
I agree.
That Jesus would be glorified and the Father would be glorified. And that we would be edified by your word, and that truth would change us and make us whole. And that, Father, we would walk in grace. And not by the law. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Paul's writing this letter to Galatians, to the Galatians, because there are a group of what is called Judaizers that have infiltrated the Galatian church in particular. What's a Judaizer? A Judaizer is a Jew that became a Christian. It's a Jew that followed the law and somewhere along the line accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and is trying to mix law and grace, or law and grace as the requisite for being saved. And Jesus says, you're saved by grace alone.
Amen.
And Judaizers say, yeah, but Jesus says, but, anytime there's a but, we got a problem. But you've also got to do, that's the Judaizer. And Paul's hearing about it, and Paul says, you were on the right track. Paul says, I was in Galatia, I had you on the right track. You knew what you were supposed to do. You were supposed to walk in faith in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, and trust that the faith in Jesus' finished work was enough to save, secure, and keep you. And that what you did was as a result of being saved, not to be saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He says, and you started off on a good race, but as we know when we used to run races, every now and then somebody would cut you off.
That's right.
They would get in your lane. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. But when they got in your lane, it impeded your progress because you couldn't run as fast or run where you were trying to get. Because somebody. And Paul says, what's in your way is the law.
That's right.
And he says the law was good and it had its place, but it needs to get out of your lane because you need to be running with grace.
Amen.
And grace alone.
Amen.
So what's happened, even in the church? You've got people who have accepted Jesus Christ, who were bound with a yoke of slavery, as we heard, who were walking around burdened, but we've laid our burdens down in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Who were walking around burdened. Jesus has freed us. And what we've done in churches, by the law and by tradition and by isms and by schisms, we've put the yoke back on, still being saved, we've put the yoke back on, and we're trying to run a race. Let me give you an example. It would be like a dog that has a collar and is on a leash. And the master is letting him run, but so far, so fast, so long. The law was the leash. Jesus came, and what he did was he got up to your collar, and he took the leash off.
Amen.
He said, you're not free to run anywhere. You're free to run the way I meant you to run. The reason I had the leash on you was because I knew you didn't have the power nor the sense to run right. But now that I've come and I've finished the work, run.
Amen.
Not run the way you want.
Amen. Amen.
Run the way I'm training you to.
Amen.
But run knowing I'm not holding you on the leash.
Amen.
See, Jesus can let you off the leash because he's counting on his training. Even though you act a fool sometimes like dogs do off of a leash.
Come on.
He trusts in his training over and above and beyond. You're acting a fool. And he trusts that he can bring you back in without even having to put the leash back on you.
Amen.
Because of what he's put in you. What he's put in you is grace. And what he's hoping is that through time and walking and dealing with him, you learn to operate and run under grace and not even need the leash. Because the leash will impede you from where he set you free to be. Let's start here. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Our freedom is a costly thing. Why? Because it cost Jesus his life.
Amen. Amen.
It couldn't cost anything to us, but it cost Jesus his life. It's a very costly thing. So it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You are free. The yoke of the law has been removed. You no longer have to try to keep the law. See, listen. Jews before Jesus knew the only way to please God was to try to keep the law. Gentiles knew nothing about the law because the law wasn't given to the Gentiles, the law was given to the Jew. So Gentiles were doing whatever. God says the Jews had a yoke or a burden or they were in bondage because the law was something they couldn't keep. And the leash was on them. And they wanted to run, but they didn't know where to run.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know when to run.
That's right.
They didn't know how to run. They didn't know if they should run right now. They didn't know what's it. They didn't know whatever. And so the law was there to try to guide them, but keep them in a certain proximity because he knew, God knew, he couldn't give them freedom because they would be fools.
Amen.
So one of the things God instituted was circumcision for the Jews. And what he said was, when you do this before the law, he says, when you do this, the peoples outside of Jews, the peoples will know you are my people because you have made a covenant with me. Every male on the eighth day had to be circumcised. You will be circumcised. Something will be cut away from you. It will be a mark that will stay with you until you die. And it will be something that the other nations will know because of that, that you are set apart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That was the purpose of circumcision. Now, you know, we circumcise children now for health reasons. Nothing against circumcision. But this isn't what Jesus is talking about health-wise. He's talking about manifesting separation.
Amen.
He's talking about acts of righteousness, or if you will, acts that allow people to know you're righteous or set apart. So the Jews did that. Jesus comes along. Jesus dies. He's buried, and he raises from the dead. He stays on the planet for 50 days. He ascends. Wrong. 40 days. He ascends, and he's seated at the right side of the Father. On the 50th day, 10 days after he ascends, the Holy Spirit comes, and the church is officially started because the Holy Spirit comes into people, comes and lives in people. Jesus is gone. Holy Spirit comes and lives in the people. And from that point forward, the Holy Ghost is the God we're dealing with. And somebody put on Facebook the other day, Pastor Jonathan Leith put on Facebook. If you saw it, he said, who's the most important person on the planet? And different people answered. Some said, my wife, some said, whatever. He said, the most important person on the planet is the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
See, Jesus is real, but Jesus is in heaven. The most important person on the planet is the one that lives in you if you're Satan.
That's right.
It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit lives in you. And so he's here to guide us and to direct us and to show us. He's not here to yoke us back up.
Amen.
He's here to help us in our freedom. The problem with the Judaizers was they were trying to mix grace and law, and you were supposed to be free, and the law will never make you free.
That's right.
It'll never make you free. Now, I need you real quick to turn with me to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Turn to it very quickly, and I'm going to start reading. Acts chapter 15, verse 6. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear?
Amen.
No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved,
yes,
just as they are.
Yes.
What's Peter saying? Peter's having a discussion. Because the Jews have gone into the Gentile nations. Paul's been preaching in the Gentile nations, and he's been telling them they're saved by Jesus Christ alone. The Gentile nations had no problem receiving that because they didn't have the burden of the law. The Jews have a problem with that because the Jews are saying, okay, they can be saved, but if they're saved, we have to be circumcised. They got to be circumcised. And Peter says, wait a minute. Circumcision didn't change the way you acted. You didn't live better because you were cut on the eighth day. Why are you going to make them a 28 get cut when in 8 days you got cut and you're acting just as crazy as they are? Amen. He says, no, we believe it is grace alone and the faith of Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ, by the grace he provides that allows you to be saved and securely saved, period.
Amen.
So Peter's having this discussion back in Jerusalem because they've now met back in Jerusalem and they're discussing all this over how you are to be saved, especially if a Gentile is to come in and be saved. Now, let me show you an allegory real quick. An allegory is a narrative in which people and events teach deeper lessons. How many know the story of Abraham?
Yes.
Just raise your hand if you've heard of Abraham. He had a wife named Sarah. He disobeyed. He went into Egypt. While he was in Egypt, He got into trouble a little bit. God got him out of the trouble. He came out of Egypt. And when he came out of Egypt, he brought a bunch of stuff. But one thing he brought that he really shouldn't have brought was a servant named Hagar.
Yep.
God had promised him before he went into Egypt that he would have a child. But because naturally he knew he was old, and because naturally he knew his wife was 10 years younger than him, and she was old as well, he knew that was almost impossible that he would ever have children. And so they come out of Egypt. Sarah's even older now than they were before they went to Egypt. Abraham's even older. And Sarah says, I'm not going to be able to have a kid. Take Hagar, my servant that we brought out of Egypt. Have a child with her. And she'll be the substitute for me. She'll be the surrogate.
Mm-hmm.
We all know about that nowadays, don't we? So he gets with Hagar. She becomes pregnant. She produces a son. His name is Ishmael. God says, I'll bless the son. I'll even bless even Hagar. But that ain't what I said.
Amen.
I said what I meant.
Yes.
Amen.
I meant what I said.
Amen.
You don't strong arm me. You don't sweet talk me. And you don't overtalk me. What I said, I meant. You will have a child by Sarah.
Amen.
Sarah conceives. They have a child. And they name him Isaac. Now, here's the allegory. Hagar represents the law. She's a temporary substitution. Here's your allegory. Sarah represents grace because there's no conceivable way naturally that Sarah can have a child.
Amen.
But see, grace ain't natural. Grace is supernatural.
Amen.
See, Hagar is a young woman. She's good. Eggs all day, every month.
It's all right.
Look right or wrong and she's pregnant. No matter how you look at Sarah, it ain't gonna happen. Ishmael comes from the natural. But
come on. Come on.
But Isaac comes from the supernatural.
Amen.
When faith got with the natural, Abraham represents faith. He's the father of faith. God said, I count him as saved. I count him as changed because of his faith. Abraham representing faith, he gets with the natural, it produces a natural seed. But God said, my blessing was not natural. My blessing that I promised is supernatural. So all of us are the recipients of a natural birth.
That's right.
Our first birth was a natural birth. But the new birth can't be done coming out of your mother's womb again.
Amen.
That's what Nicodemus found.
That's right.
Amen.
How can I enter back into my mother's womb? Jesus said, none of you don't understand. I'm not talking about you being born from your mother. I'm talking about you being born of the Spirit. So where you had Abraham and Hagar naturally, you have Abraham and Sarah supernaturally. Now, don't turn to it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Here's your allegory. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Listen. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, because the works mean not of your own efforts.
Amen.
Not of human efforts.
Amen.
Lest any man
should boast.
For we are his workmanship.
Created
in Christ Jesus unto
good works.
Good works. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Wrap it up. Here we go. For by Sarah are you saved.
Come on.
through Abraham, which produces what? Isaac. Israel has no place in your life. Your first birth won't save you. You can do whatever you want with your first birth, and God will bless you even in your first birth, but it won't get you saved.
Amen.
Abraham did nothing to produce seed in the new birth except believe.
That's right.
Amen.
Sarah did nothing except yield.
That's right.
Even when she didn't believe.
Amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Somewhere along the line, even when you don't believe, you've got to yield to grace.
Yes.
Because grace is stronger than your belief. So listen. So when you can group your faith with your grace, you can produce Isaac, which is supernatural. But when you've got your faith, Abraham, with something natural, you'll never get supernatural.
That's right. Come on.
And God wants to operate and will only operate in his promise in the supernatural. Did he bless Ishmael and Hagar? He sure did. And listen to what I want to tell you. The Judaizers said, you got to bring Hagar back. See, this is what happened. After Sarah had Isaac, Hagar, the law, said, my child's just as important as that. And Sarah said, not so. Brother Abraham, you got to put the law out.
That's right.
In the story, God says, I'll take care of Hagar. And he comes to Hagar and he comes to Ishmael and he takes care of her. In the story. Judaizers later on, Judaizers here in Galatians, they say, listen, you got to bring the law back. You can't just have Isaac. Abraham had two sons. God says, I recognize one son.
Amen.
Listen, who's the one son I recognize? It's not Isaac.
That's right.
I recognize my son.
Amen.
And he didn't come by natural means. He came by supernatural means.
Amen.
Only son I recognize is grace.
Amen.
I don't have time for the law anymore. It was a temporary situation and it fulfilled its time, but it's now time for Ishmael and Hagar to go their merry way. And I'll do with them what I need to do with them, but the focus will be forever on Isaac.
Amen.
And that's why you now say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You don't say Abraham, Ishmael, and whomever his son is. And I'm going to get in trouble with the Muslim community here, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Son of God came through Isaac. And the promise was through Isaac. It was not through Ishmael.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
And so when you trace Jesus' lineage, it's not through Ishmael.
Amen.
Amen.
He's a supernatural birth coming from a supernatural birth. Because God wants to show you that no matter what you do in your life, it's him.
Amen.
So, for by grace, Sarah, are you saved through faith, Abraham, which produces who? Isaac? Yeah, but not really. Jesus.
Amen.
It is the gift of God. Bible doesn't say it's a gift. Bible says it is the gift of God.
Amen.
Not of works. Got nothing to do with Abraham. Got nothing to do with Sarah. Got everything to do with God.
Yes.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. No brother can say, ha, 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 look what I did.
Amen.
No, no. No woman can say, oh, look what I produced. No, no, no. You are just the vehicle. For we are his workmanship.
That's right.
Created in Christ Jesus. But Christ Jesus wasn't natural. He was supernatural. Which means you got to recognize the workmanship that you are is supernatural.
Amen.
You are more than your first birth. And here's the problem. What we do is we come into church and we don't recognize either two things. We either recognize the supernatural birth along with the natural, or we don't recognize the importance of the supernatural at all.
Amen.
And we try to operate in the promise from the first birth.
That's right.
We try to be Isaac by acting like Ishmael.
That's right.
And we wonder why we're hampered. And we wonder why we're hindered. And we wonder why something can get in our lane and mess us up. Because we're not recognizing we are Isaac and not Ishmael.
Amen.
So when you go back to try, listen, the Judaizers said, bring Hagar back. And Peter and Paul and them said, you can't bring them back. You know why? Because Hagar and Sarah can't coexist.
Amen. How about that? How about that?
Them two sisters right there, they can't live in the same camp with Abraham. Too much tension. One of them got to go. Now, if Hagar is the law, and Sarah is grace, and one of them's got to go, Sarah was the wife.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen.
Sarah was the rightful one. Amen. The one that God says stays with you. Grace.
Amen.
The law served its purpose. And yes, yes, we honor the law. Yes, we don't besmirch Ishmael. He's still Abraham's son. But he ain't the first son. Amen.
That's right.
First son is Isaac. It comes on down the line and we come to the best son. Jesus. So why put back the yoke on Amen. That you've been delivered from? Amen. And that's why he says about circumcision. He says, if you get circumcised, Jewish Christian believers, then you got to keep the whole law. Because what you're trying to do is say, the only way you can be saved by God is to also impart the law. But if you're going to impart circumcision, then you got to impart, are you eating shellfish?
That's right. That's right.
You got to impart, ladies, are you handling yourselves right at certain times of the month?
Right. That's right.
Oh, yeah, that's law. See, we all, yeah, you need to read that, ladies. There was a certain way you wouldn't want to believe how. You had to go outside the city. So if you want to do the law, you can't do part of the law.
That's right. You got to do the whole thing.
You got to do all of it. And if you couldn't keep it being cut 8 days, how are you going to keep it being cut at 28? So he says, let me read it again for you so you can get in context now. So he says, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Why? Because you're going by your works. You're trying to be Ishmael.
Amen.
Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law.
That's right.
You who are trying to be justified, listen, you who are trying to be just, listen, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. Why? Because Christ and Ishmael cannot coexist.
Amen. Amen, brother.
One of them's got to be preeminent. They're not equal. And they're not going to share inheritance. And if you want to share the law with Jesus, you've alienated Jesus.
Amen.
In the church. And you want to know some of the biggest places of tradition? And law?
Come on.
In the church.
Come on.
Did you say it a certain way? Did you sit a certain way?
That's right.
Did you take two steps and then bend? Did you make sure you greet him this way or did you kind of greet him this way? Oh, we got to do it this way. That can't be put out except by the pastor. Pastor got to wear a robe.
Come on. Come on.
That's law.
That's right.
Doesn't have to be. Amen. You're off the leash. Why are you letting somebody put you? You've been free to operate in what God wants you to operate in. And now you know who your director is? Not the law. The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know where he directs you from? The Word. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
So, when you lose your way, you fall flat on your face, can I share with you that you don't fall from grace, you fall into grace.
Amen. Amen.
I said this was called falling into grace. I think I said that. I want you to clear something up for you because I don't want you to say he's going against the word. Look in verse 4. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Oh, wait, Pastor, you're contradicting. You just said you've fallen away from grace. Yeah, it does say that. Falling from grace doesn't mean you've lost your salvation.
Amen.
Falling from grace means you've moved out of the sphere of grace into the sphere of the law.
That's right.
You've put the yoke back. You've put the leash back on when Jesus has already taken you off of it.
Amen.
That's why you're alienating from being alienated from Christ doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. It means you're alienating him. You're turning, you're pushing him away because you're trying to fix it yourself. And Jesus is saying, I already fixed it perfectly when I took you off.
Come on, brother.
I don't need your help to fix it. I just need you to walk in what I've already fixed. Falling from grace means you substitute regulations for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Recently, there have been some events that have happened, and they have rocked certain people to the core. Absolutely to the core. My message to the ones that it's rocked is that God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
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 Yes.
You do not need to go back to the law and inflict nor fix anything.
Amen.
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 Let him who gave the law and took it back because it was only a substitution and temporary, but replaced it with something secure and permanent, let him who is permanent restore you, though you've been rocked to the core.
Amen.
Amen.
But let me say this as well. The same grace that keeps you is the same grace that keeps the other side.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Listen. If you did nothing to deserve grace, which is unmerited favor, you did nothing to deserve it, what can you do to lose it?
Amen. Amen.
Which means God gave it freely, not based on you, but based on him. Which means even when you mess up, you still got it. Now, are there consequences for it? Absolutely. Does it leave? No.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
What good is Jesus dying on the cross if it can leave?
Amen.
Then that means you earned it, and that means you unearned it.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jesus gives it freely for either side of that party, and you received it, it's yours. And when you fall from grace, you really are falling into grace because it is the grace that allows you to know you're still secure even though you fell from grace.
Amen.
Even though you chose to alienate yourself from Christ by putting the yoke back on, God says, you put it on if you want to, but I ain't put it back on you.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And I'm still here for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Both sides.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
Because my love is greater than your work.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
My love is greater than your mess up. We've got to get this because the condition in which our heart operates is all conditioned on how we see the gospel.
That's exactly right.
And if we see the gospel as God's grace, then we can operate and move forward and get that thing out of the lane. But if we don't see it as that, then what we do is we start either trying to run based on the condition of the person that's blocking us, or we quit.
Speak the truth, brother.
Because the obstacle won't move.
Yeah.
God says, no, the race is not given to the swift, nor to the strong, but to him or her that endureth to the end. Run your race. And whatever wants to get in your lane, blood of Jesus.
Come on.
Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. I got to keep going. Because if you let that thing hinder you,
yes, sir,
it keeps you from reaching your destiny.
Yes. Thank you, God.
We come to church, some of us, probably all of us, one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't seek true relationship. We seek to please God by what we do.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. Nothing you do pleases God.
Come, say it again, brother. Say it again.
Your prayer ain't right. Your worship is half-hearted. Your praise is lacking. Nothing you do pleases. You know why? Because if not all the time, we do it in our flesh.
Amen.
We try to live out Isaac in Ishmael's body. The only thing you can do to please God is recognize your Isaac and form a relationship with him as Isaac.
Amen.
Listen to me. Isaac didn't have to do anything to get Abraham's favor.
Sure
did. Except be Isaac.
Come on. Come on. Look at that.
Y'all ain't catch it.
Look at that.
He'd have to go make his daddy a coat. Listen to me. Good works are good, but they don't make you more pleasing to God.
Amen.
You do them because God's already pleased with you. What pleases you to God is that you believe.
Amen.
Period. Oh, Pastor, got to be more than... No, no. No, listen, listen. What pleases God with you is that you believe who he is.
That's right.
And the way he knows that you believe who he is by how you live.
How you live, that's your belief.
But you don't live to prove it. You live because it's proven in you.
Amen.
You got to get grace, y'all, because what we're doing is we're getting grace and we're throwing in some works.
There we are.
And we're figuring, if I come to church enough, God, you're good with that. If I give a certain amount of money, God, I know you're good with that. That gives me another brownie point. And God says, that doesn't give brownie points to me. The only thing that gives brownie points to me is our relationship.
Amen.
And if you spend more time relating to me than trying to do stuff for me, we're going to be good. What can you do that God needs you to do anyway? He told you, where were you when I create?
That's right.
What are you doing? And God says, wow. That's great. Do that again.
That's the truth.
When Jesus came to the centurion, he said, this kind of faith have I not seen anywhere in Israel. What did the centurion do? Did he do something?
Nope.
No.
He said, Lord, I've got a servant at home.
Yes, sir.
He said, and he needs help.
Yes,
he said, I know you can help him. He said, I don't need you to come to my house.
That's right.
He said, I command these men, and they do what I say because they know my position.
Right.
He said, I know your position is greater than mine. If you speak it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
He's done. He's healed. And Jesus said, I have been through Israel. And for all the Jews that have the law. This was a Gentile. This was a Roman, down dirty, nasty,
yes, sir,
centurion,
yes,
sir, who had probably done stuff you can't even imagine.
Yes,
and he said, if you but speak it,
yes, sir,
And Jesus said, Doc, it is done. And wow, greater faith have I not seen anywhere. You want to get Jesus' attention? Stop worrying about whether you vacuumed the floor and worry about have you talked to him today.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
You want to get Jesus' attention? Stop worrying about did you open the door for somebody? Better yet, did you help somebody today? You want to get Jesus' attention? Forge, we talked about it last week. Forge a friendship with Jesus.
Amen.
Discover it and forge it. And as your relationship grows, your works will grow. Let me close this. I wanted to go somewhere else. I ain't got time. I'm going to close it with this. Galatians 5:13. Go to 13. Let me close it with this. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Amen. Let me read this again. Lord, you, my brothers. Listen, he says brothers and sisters, which means you're saved.
Right.
He says you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Mm-hmm. You're free. Listen. But do not use you being off of the leash to run like a wild dog.
Amen. Amen.
Rather, serve one another humbly in love. You want to know whether or not you're pleasing God? How you serving somebody?
Amen.
You want to know whether or not you're pleasing God? How you loving up on somebody when they dogged you? That's grace. See, listen, Ishmael couldn't get it, but Isaac could do it. Because that's something only supernatural can do, and natural can't do it. And so we're wondering why in church we're struggling, because we're trying to do supernatural being natural.
That's right.
So instead of being humble,
they don't know who I am. That's right.
I got help him. I want help him. In fact, I'm glad he's in trouble. Been waiting for this. Good for him. I knew it was coming anyway. If she would have done this and would have done that, then maybe I'd help her.
That's how it is. That's the truth.
Rather, serve one another humbly. In love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. That's the word. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Write it down. Galatians 5, 13, 14, 15. He's giving you the remedy. He's giving you the diagnosis and the prognosis and a prescription.
Come on.
Freedom brings with it the responsibility to serve. You can't be free and not be ready to serve.
Amen.
You were not freed up to run amok. You were freed up to run the race.
Amen.
Running the race means helping somebody. Humbly in love. Love motivates you to fulfill the law of God. I'll say it again. Love motivates you to fulfill the law of God.
Amen.
What will get you past the law? Love. There's no love in the law.
That's right.
The law is do this, don't do this. The law is cold. It's got no room for heart. It's got no room for emotion. Do this, don't do this. Get this, don't get this. That's the law.
That's right.
Love says even when you've broken the law, I'm still going to stand with you.
Amen.
Hear me. Yes. Hear me well. I don't condone what you did, but I'll support you anyway.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
You don't believe that? Oh, Pastor, that's hard. Jesus says to you, I don't like what you did yesterday. I'm still your Savior.
How about that? How about that?
And he says, as I've loved you, love ye
one another.
Somebody knows their Bible. So how can you be pompous when Jesus is love? Grace. Christ's life, not the law, is what will change behavior.
Amen. Amen.
Write down the scripture. We're not going to turn to it. I ain't got time. Romans 13. Romans 13, verses 8 through 14. You read it for yourself. Romans 13, verses 8 through 14. Christ's life, the life that we now live in Christ, the life that Christ wants to live in you, the life that you allow Christ to live through you and in you, by you, for you, and with you, that will change your behavior, not the law. The law will never change you.
That's right.
You know how I know that? You can get up from prayer and know, I shouldn't do such and such. I know the Lord says, if I do such and such, it's going to happen. And we, before the day is over.
That's right. The Lord magnifies sin.
The law just shows your sin.
Yep.
It doesn't give you the remedy to fix it.
That's right.
The only one, I didn't say thing. The only one that can fix your sin is Jesus.
Amen.
And what motivates you to change your lifestyle is love. I didn't say, ooh, love. I said a decision to do that which God says is best for another person.
Amen.
Let me end with this. The law works by compulsion from without.
Mm-hmm.
But grace works by compassion from within.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Absolutely. The law works by compulsion externally. You know why? Because 9 times out of 10, when we're doing the law, we ain't trying to please God. We're trying to put a front on for somebody else. And it's a compulsion to do it because I need to know that Ernie's going to think I'm okay.
Right.
And I don't want Ernie to think badly of me, so I have a compulsion to make sure Ernie thinks good of me. So I have to constantly do the law that I can't do. But since I can't do it, what am I going to start doing? Lying.
Mm-hmm. Deceiving. That's right.
Well,
that's right.
I'll do this because he sees it. I'm still going to do this when he ain't looking. Because you know you can't always please him. And 9 times out of 10, we're not really even trying to please God. We're trying to please people more than we're trying to please God. We're more concerned with what so-and-so thinks about me than God who sees you. But grace, when you get it, when I say get it, you're saved by grace. I'm talking when you get it.
When you get it, get it. Come on.
Grace will work from compassion. Where Ishmael would turn and walk away from you, the compassion in Isaac will walk towards you. Remember I said where, and I'm done. Remember I said where God will say to you, when others are saying, I can't believe you're going to let him in. And God will say, the compassion is what says, it's not being stupid. It's not that God doesn't already. God knows before your next breath what you're thinking, 2 more breaths.
Amen.
But his compassion for you says, I still got to work on him. And I know it's not a bewitched moment. It's not going to happen overnight.
Amen.
There are consequences for it. And I'll be with you through the consequences. Come on. We'll walk this thing out together. Y'all need to say amen.
Amen.
Don't you understand? Every single person in here is sitting here because God has walked it out with you. Because somewhere in your life, if not today, you've already messed up and God said, I didn't throw you away. God said, I'm going to walk it out with you.
Amen.
Who do you think you are?
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, brother. Amen.
Don't you start thinking about somebody else and it ain't me. You are here because God walked with you when he could have thrown you out.
That's right.
So how dare you not let God walk with somebody else?
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Why is it okay for you not to be thrown out, but they got to be thrown out?
That's God's honest truth, man. It's a good word, brother.
You got to get this grace. It's got nothing to do with Hagar. It really ain't got much to do with Sarah.
Wow.
It's got to do with the one that created Sarah. Amen. By compassion, love will have you work from within. Not from what... See, listen. Listen. Grace will have you work when without tells you you shouldn't.
Yep.
Grace will have you work when without gives you every reason to turn away from the person.
Circumstances. That's right.
I know I promised y'all was going to end. Quick story. Joseph did not turn away from his brothers, even though his brothers dogged him. But listen to me. Joseph only got to the place of compassion through the trials of his life. That same Joseph, I don't believe that same Joseph would have released his brothers 30 years prior. I'm wrong, maybe 20 years prior. Because he was 17 when he was thrown in. And he was about 39 by the time he caught up with his brothers or so, about 40, something like that. So it had been a good 20 some years since he had seen his brothers. Listen to me. The only reason Joseph could show compassion here was by the trials God allowed him to go through that got him to here. Some of us need to recognize God is taking you through trying times because he wants to produce a compassion in your life that allows grace to be birthed.
Come on, say it again, brother.
Because as long as you stay here in the law, when you see your brothers in Egypt and you've got all the power to kill them and remind them of what they put you through and you got the power. Oh, you gone. And Joseph knew his brothers dogged him. And what did he say? Come closer.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Come closer. He tested them. Talked to my wife about this morning. He tested them. And when they passed the test that he knew he could trust them, he said, come closer. They didn't know who he was. He said, come closer. See, Ishmael would say, be gone. But grace will say, I ain't no fool. I ain't no dummy. Come closer. Because I know the same grace to save me, it's the same grace that can save you. And if I'm not worthy of it, you ain't either. So how can I keep you from it when God didn't keep me from it?
Amen. Is that correct?
And if you want to sit there and look at me and say, that's in the Bible, but I ain't going to do it, you keep walking under the law. But you will put a yoke around your neck and you will have something impeding your race. And you will not get where you're supposed to get, or you will not get there when you're supposed to get there. What good is crossing the finishing line when you could have been first and you ought to be last? The choice is ours. We're going to walk in this thing called grace, or we're going to walk in law. But the two can't coexist.
That's right.
Hagar and Sarah ain't going to live together.
One or the other.
You choose which wife you want to keep. Really, it was only one wife. Hagar was the mistress.
That's right.
She was temporary and illegitimate. And you do with that what you want. Some of y'all don't want to hear that. You're married to Jesus. Anybody else trying to put a ring on your finger or a ring in your nose, you better get rid of it. God's grace. Fall into it. When you think you've fallen from grace, recognize all you've really done is fallen into it. Because grace will keep you even when you mess up.
Amen.
There's ramifications, there's repercussions, there's consequences, absolutely. But God's grace will still keep you. And it'll even restore you.
Yes, sir.
If you believe in Him.
Yes, sir.
And do it His way.
Yes. Amen.
Stop trying to please God by what you do. Please God by being who you're supposed to be.
Amen.
Stop trying to please God by putting on acts. And start pleasing God by relating to Him. Isaac did nothing to win his father's love except be Isaac. Know you're a king's kid and your daddy loves you. And when you mess up, your daddy still loves you. Does that mean go mess up some more? No, that means because he loves you, stop messing up.
Amen.
But know that when you do mess up, he loves you. He didn't stop loving you. He'll never stop loving. He'll never let you go. He'll never let you down. Grace doesn't mean he'll let you off the hook. Hear me. There's consequences. Grace doesn't mean he'll let you off the hook, but grace does mean he'll never let you down, even while you're on the hook.
Thank you. Thank you.
And he'll never let you go while you're on the hook.